Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be back with you, connected on this virtual platform. Anybody excited about Jesus? If you are, just lift up those hands. If you're on the chat, just lift them little emoticon hands, clapping, say amen, hallelujah. Just show some sign that the Lord is good and worthy of all the praise. If you look in my background, you can see we're back on that journey, the life as a believer, and just allowing God, as the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, to transform us and to be used in these seasons. I'm telling you, there's so much news that are going on, bad news in our society, in our nation, but God is faithful. There's still more souls to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of Him. And that's why we're living epistles. Literally, God is writing His word on our heart that people can see who Jesus is on our jobs, when we go to the grocery store, when we're dealing with family and friends. So I want to encourage you to continue to grow in the Lord. Use ebcnc.com kind of like your calling card. If someone wants to know more information about our church, but most importantly, if they're interested in Christ, we've got some wonderful videos on our website about salvation and other links of information, just a place to grow in the Lord. On Mondays, we have Monday Manna, where we have different types of teaching. God has just blessed us with that, and I just thank God. We've got, sometimes we have teachings for marriage. Other times we have teachings for emotional issues that people have. God has blessed Ebenezer to have counselors there that are real sensitive to those needs. Yes, God is a healer, and He really transforms us, but I thank God that He has gifts that He's given to the body to speak into our lives. Tuesday, we have Noonday Bible Study, where we're going through the book of Genesis, and we're actually going in an in-depth study from the Melchizedek from Genesis over in the Hebrews, and then we're going to circle back around. So that's been a great study. And then on Wednesdays, we're going through the book of Luke, line upon line, precept upon precept on our virtual connection at 7 o'clock. This Thursday, got a little change. We usually have our in-person Bible study, but we're going to have Monday Thursday. Yes, Monday Thursday at Ebenezer at 7 o'clock in the sanctuary. This is where many churches come together, and we just celebrate as we're on our way to Resurrection Day. On that Monday, Thursday, the Reverend Dr. John Howard, he's going to become to minister us, just a blessing from Ebenezer, a part of us, and we're looking forward to that word. Again, that's this Thursday, Monday, Thursday, in our sanctuary at 7 o'clock as we're celebrating and making our way to Resurrection Day. Don't forget to pray for our 8:45 and our 10:45 in-person services, and of course, our 10 o'clock online that is reaching so many people. I also want to thank you so much for your giving. Because of your giving, we're able to reach out to so many people, different areas, missions, to encourage them. On our third Sundays, we actually go out into Central Park, and we're able to give clothing and food and encourage those who are going through. So I thank you for being a cheerful giver, whether the way you're giving, maybe it's our in-person services or online or sitting it into our secure mailbox. I just want to say thank you on behalf of Ebenezer and all of our family for being a part of just this portion of Zion at Ebenezer on 2700 West Vandalia Road. Well, I'm thinking about the Word of God, and I'm just ready to get in it. Let's get our minds focused, and we'll see you soon.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is your who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. May the Lord add a blessing to read his word.
I try to leave in God, but from his love I could not depart. And like the prodigal son, I came back home, and from his love I could not depart. I tried drinking and I tried gambling, and I tried staying out all night long. But his arms were so strong, till I could no longer roam. From his love I could not depart. I tried leaving his loving arms, and I tried leaving his outstretched hands, but his arms were alone, till I could no longer roam, and from his love I could not depart. I tried leaving God, but from his love I could not depart. Like the prodigal son, I came back home. From his love I could not depart. From his love I could not depart. Yeah, from his love I could not depart. Aren't
you glad that God's love tracks us down? And I'm so glad for what Jesus has done for us at Calvary. Before we go any further, I just want to go in a word of prayer and just lift up the Lord and just welcome his Holy Spirit as he just leads us and guides us into all truth. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so, so much for the body of Christ. I thank you for using us in these dark days. There are so many challenges, but help us, Lord, as we're walking through this as a life of believer, that people are looking at us, Lord, that you're using us to be an example, that souls can be saved and be brought to the knowledge of the truth of you. Now, Lord, I pray for those who may not be saved. I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised him from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Let them experience that wonderful grace, Lord. Now, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Please teach us and guide us and make this word so plain and so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed and be like you. Lord, we just praise you and magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as we are in this topic, the life of the believer, really, as I introduced today, we are living epistles. God is using us. He has left us here for a purpose to show forth who he is. Our memory scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and starting around that second verse, we've been saying it each Sunday so that it can get into our mind and seep down into our spirit. So if you prepare yourself to focus in 2 Corinthians 3 and that second verse, let's read it aloud together. You are our epistle in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, we're getting ready to get into a scripture that examines us, but it's going to bring some rejoicing out as we think about what God has done in the life of the believer. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. This particular portion of scripture really has a closeness to my heart. My wife actually has memorized this book, and she just did it for her private meditation, and she actually recited it in front of me. And I'm like, man, just hearing these verses over and over again are very encouraging. So that 1 Peter 1:8, it says, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your salvation, the salvation of your souls. Isn't that good? Listen to that again. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I want to speak from a title today, Walking in Soul Salvation. Yes, Walking in Soul Salvation. As we get into this portion of scripture, the time frame is about 63 to 64 AD. The Christians that are in this area are being persecuted, stressed out by the enemy. And so Peter, as he's led of God, begins to encourage them in their walk, that even though they're going through, to know that God is faithful. It's interesting to note, most theologians hold about 4 years from now, in about 68 AD, that Peter will be crucified upside down. Yes, upside down, and have a joyful heart when this is going on, simply because he remembers what his Savior went through, the Christ. Let's go ahead and jump into this portion of scripture. Prayerfully, we're going to work our way through the majority of this chapter. We're going to break it in two parts. So I want you to just kind of focus in as we take it step by step. 1 Peter 1:1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Here's our first point. We are the elect. That's shouting words right there. We are the elect. Now, I want to explain this whole elect process. It is really trusting and understanding that God knows everything. He's all powerful. He's all knowledgeable. Therefore, he knew who would be saved even before the foundations of the earth. And so in that respect, he is in essence chosen us. He's allowed us to be in his family. And it's so good to know that we are the elect. And in past eternity, God already had us on his mind. And I know that's tough because we're in time, but God is out of time. Now, as I look at this, there's a verse that really brings this. Jesus teaches us in John 15:16. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Isn't that good? Just to know that he has chosen us, and he's moved heaven and earth to put everything in place that we could be his children. I'm talking about walking in soul salvation. The life of a believer, as we look at the scripture closely, is built in several things. But the first one, in sanctification of the Spirit. This word in Greek is hagiomos, which means literally to set apart or make holy. To set apart or to make holy. We are the separated ones. We are the sanctified ones in him. Therefore, God, he has done something beautiful in our lives that no matter where we came from, no matter what our struggles were, when we received him as our Lord and Savior, literally, he sets us apart. He makes us his own. We are his elect, walking in soul salvation. But Peter doesn't stop here, as he is really pressed by the Holy Spirit. It says, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. We strive to walk in obedience to the word. And this is done by God's blood. Yes, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we understand whatever success we have in our lives is all because Christ has given us the victory. Can somebody say amen? Just put in the chat, amen. I'm so glad to think about this next part in the scripture. Says, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Can someone quickly type grace, and then I want you to type peace after that? This is magnanimous, and I'm going to show you why. Because grace is unmerited favor. Yes, it's unmerited favor. And this peace, as you look in the Greek background, it means to be undisturbed. But what I like about this, Peter said, you're going to have several. You're going to have unmerited favor, and you're going to have peace being undisturbed, and it's going to be multiplied. There ought to be some shouts in the room today. Because I love God's grace, and I love God's peace. But as we walk with him, as we walk in this soul salvation, it is multiplied on a daily basis. We just got to tap in and understand. I dare you, even right now, there's going to be a lot of rejoicing breaks as we go through this message today. But I dare you right now just to thank God for his unmerited favor, his grace, and thank God for his peace, that you are not disturbed by everything that's going on. Even though there are stresses that come our way, we can tap into the fact that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Notice 1 Peter 1:3. He goes on. He's building on this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here's another point. We have living hope. Yes, we have living hope. Now, this is good because this hope, as defined within the scriptures, the definition is this confident expectation. So hope equals confident expectation. We know, in spite of what's going on in the government, in spite of what's going on with the environment, in spite of what's going on with economy, all these things, we got hope. We've got confident expectation. A Greek expositor, Arthur Farstead, he brings this out. He says, the resurrection is the central hope of Christianity. It is not merely something that we want to happen, but an assurance we have. We know we shall rise. Isn't that good news? So just lift up your hands wherever you're sitting at this morning. Maybe you done got up already. We know that we're going to rise because he's already gotten up. Because we possess this living hope, we are different. We see things differently. We walk differently. We talk differently, in a sense, because we understand that Christ is everything. Frederick B. Meyer, a Baptist preacher in the 1800s, he coined this statement of this living hope. He says, the link between our present and future. Yes, the link between our present and future. So whatever I'm going through in my present, I am linked. That hope, that living hope, already is pointing me to what Christ has already done. To know that we have a home in heaven, to know that no matter what we're going through, and this is why this message is so powerful to those persecuted believers, those who are struggling, because they could not focus on their present situation, their present circumstance, as they were where they were at, they had to know that God was more than enough. Are there any witnesses out there to know that God is more than enough? I'm talking about walking in this soul salvation. But 1 Peter 1:4, we're going to take it a little higher. It said, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Could you put in the chat reservation? Please put in a reservation, because this is a good news for us. Here's the point. We have an inheritance. Yes, we have an inheritance. I don't know about you, but that is good news to know that God has laid up for us an inheritance. Let me break this scripture down. First word I want to look at is incorruptible. As I looked in Greek background, it's in essence a summary. The commentators bring this all together. It means that it can never corrode, crack, or decay. It can never corrode, crack, or decay. Isn't that good news? But it's just not. If it was just incorruptible, That would be great, but there's add that multiplication is undefiled. It means that the inheritance itself is in perfect condition. No tarnish or stain can dim its purity. Isn't that good news? Man, we have an inheritance, but he didn't stop there. He said that does not fade away means that it can never suffer variations in value, glory, or beauty. God has said, I'm going to make sure that this thing is perfect. And he says this again, reserved in heaven for you. It means it is kept in a safety vault of heaven for the child of God. That's some good news. Some of us need to recognize how blessed we are today to think about that God has an inheritance for us as we walk in this soul salvation. Look at 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept. Somebody say, I'm kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I want to read that again. 1 Peter 1:5 again. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Here's the point. God keeps us. Yes, God keeps. He's a keeper. Somebody say, he's a keeper. You can put it in chat. He's a keeper. That's good to know, that when we can't keep ourselves, that God is ordering ourselves. Man, we got testimony after testimony that some of you can shout that God kept you. He's been keeping you. You've been through some accidents and some situation. Aren't you glad that he kept you? You had to go to some doctor's appointments. Some of you had to go through surgeries, but God kept you. He is a keeper. Theologian McDonald writes of the thought pattern of what kept means. He says, kept is a military term for the protection of a city by means of military garrison. In the picture here, the power of God corresponds to an army based with the sole function of protecting believers. The soldiers of God, his angels, surround us to protect us from the bombardment of the various trials and temptations so that we do not become crushed by depression and despair. The soldiers are visible only through the eyes of faith. Talk about walking in soul salvation. These saints, they are being persecuted going through, but there were so many times there were miraculous interventions to keep them from dying. Now many were martyred, but there's some that had God step in and said, no, it's not over yet. I've got more for you to do. Some of you have that testimony in your life. I remember years and years ago, my entire family, where we were driving along in a minivan, went across the intersection, and a car ran the red light and it hit our van. If we'd have been a little bit earlier, it could have taken us out. If we'd have been a little bit later, it could have taken us out. But the ministering angels jumped right in, and even though we collided, we went across the intersection and everybody got out and everybody was fine. I think that's God stepping in. We were kept. God came in a nick of the time. Even when we didn't know that we needed him, God was already there. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Also, there's an Old Testament story that talks about this keeping power. Elijah was the prophet of God, and Syria was their arch enemy. They were coming against Israel, but there was a problem. Every time Syria's king would make a move, all of a sudden, Israel would actually know what was going on. And the reason they knew it, because God would speak to prophet Elijah, and he would tell them which way that the enemy was going.
going. So finally, the king of Syria, he gets upset. He says, who has betrayed me? Who is the spy that's within the camp? And somebody raised their hand. I can see him in the background said, hey, king, nobody's a spy here, but their God has been speaking to Elijah. And so what the king decides to do, he puts a hit out on this prophet, and he sends an entourage. Let's pick up 2 Kings 6:14. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? The servant looks and he's like, okay, all right, it is over. It is a done deal. They have come to get you, Elijah. They've come to shut you up, to kill you, so that you cannot receive a word from the Lord. But I love 2 Kings 6:16. I'm talking about walking in soul salvation. He said, so he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. I can see the servant looking around going, okay, there is nobody with us. It's just you and me and the air. I don't know what you're talking about, but Elijah knew he was a kept man. He knew that God was with them, 2 Kings 6:17. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw him. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Elijah said, God, show him what I can see. Show him what I already know, that I have been kept. It's so good to know as we walk in soul salvation that God keeps us as believers. This is our life. This is our expectation. This is our rejoicing. Look at 1 Peter 1:6. In this, you greatly rejoice. You understand? We rejoice because we have been kept, that God walks with us. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials they were going through. There were struggles, as said before, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. Yes, God does allow the believer to go through sometime, but nothing is wasted. No struggle has been wasted. God is using that as a refining fire may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Anybody love him? Can you put in the chat, said, I love him. I love him. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice. There's their word again, with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Can you just shout out glory? Put it in the chat. Glory. Receiving the end of your salvation, the salvation of your souls. This is good news. Walking in soul salvation. Here's our final point. I'm going to sum this all up. We rejoice even in the fire. Yes, we rejoice even in the fire. I know some of you thinking about that Old Testament. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The edict went out that they had to bow down, but yet in the midst of that, they would not bow down to that image, and they were thrown into the fire. You remember it? But when they were in the fire, God kept them. God was right there, and the king looks down. He said, hold up. Did we not throw three in, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? But I see a fourth. And he looks like the Son of God. That is amazing. That's what we can rejoice. We can rejoice even in the fire. But notice, as we look at our lives, we're going to have to go through, as said before. But as we walk in this soul salvation, we understand something. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, somebody say light affliction, is which is for but a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly weight of glory. And while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. Somebody say temporary. Do I have any quick typers there? Put temporary in the chat. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Somebody shout out eternal. Could you type eternal? I am so glad that the things that we see don't even compare to those things that we don't see. Are there any shouts in the house? I'm telling you, no matter your situation, no matter what your struggle, we understand ultimately, 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I'm so glad that we walk in this soul salvation. Peter is encouraging the saints to hold on no matter the stresses, hold on no matter the tears, hold on and know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Look at that second part of that 8th verse. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. As we walk together, I want you to know that God is so good, and we can rejoice when we think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he didn't. He wake us up this morning. Didn't he allow our internet connection to work? Didn't he allow us to come together, that even though we're in different places, we know about what God has done in our lives? We got a testimony of the grace of the Lord. I'm talking about walking in soul salvation, but it's all precedent on the fact that Jesus came and gave us that example. He walked among men, healing the sick and raising the dead. But I'm so glad that he didn't stop right there, but he goes to the cross of Calvary. There he takes nails in his hands, nails in his feet for us. He dies a gruesome death, but I'm glad he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I'm talking about walking in soul salvation. Aren't you glad there was a thief that came to himself and Jesus said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise"? I'm talking about walking out soul salvation. He dies on that cross of Calvary, but the good news is that he gets up on the third day with all power and all glory. So as we walk together in this soul salvation, we can rest our hearts and minds on the fact of Hebrews chapter 10 and the 39th verse. "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Are there any saints out there that said, "I'm going to walk more in this soul salvation because I understand that God is using me"? And I dare you right now just to take a bit of time, just to lift up your hand and say, "Use me, Lord, for your service. Use me, Lord, as an example in this world." Saints, these are some tough days for us. We really can't compare to what those Christians were going through in that time, but we can look at our season and we can know there are different attacks of the enemy. There are different things that we're up against. It seems like fear has been amped up in our society. It seems like people are just losing it with going in schools and shooting up innocent kids. All of these things are happening on a regular basis. But I want you to know, we are here for a purpose, to walk in soul salvation, that we can reach out to people that are hopeless and let them know that we got a confident expectation that our God is real. And he's real in our souls. Saints, I want you to be encouraged. As I prepare to pray with you, I want you to really decide today, I'm going to get in the word more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to rejoice more. I'm going to be excited more about what God has done in my life. As I walk this out as the life of the believer, I want people to know that I know Jesus. I gave a challenge to our Thursday night in-person Bible study. I asked them, I said, as you go through this week, if you couldn't communicate on that level, would people know that you were a Christian? If you couldn't tell them, if you didn't have a cross on, there was no outward accoutrements of something that said that we were Christians, would they know by the way you were living? Would they know that you've got soul salvation and you're walking in him? That is what God wants for us, that as we walk through this life, yes, there'll be opportunities that we'll be able to verbally witness. There'll be opportunities that people will know as we're in the sanctuary together. But the big one is when we're walking through our daily lives, when we're on our jobs, when we're connecting with friends and families, do they know that we have been saved? If you're looking and listening in right now and you don't know who Christ is, I encourage you to give your life to him. I'm telling you, he will change you from the inside out. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raised him from the dead, and the scriptures are clear. You will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Would you receive that gift today? Saints of God, I want you just to go into prayer, and I want you to pray for your lost loved ones. You've got friends that on your corner, across the street, in your neighborhood, on your job. I want you to pray. But as we pray for them, please understand that God wants us to walk in this powerful soul salvation, that people can know that Christ is everything. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this word. I'm excited. I'm rejoicing, Lord, even as I thank you for leaving this word for us. As those saints were going through different types of persecution and issues and situation, Lord, we're in our season and we're going through persecutions and situations and struggles. But Lord, we thank you that we can rejoice as we walk in this soul salvation, as we really magnify who you are, that we never forget that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. So Lord, I pray for more souls to be saved. I pray, Father God, that you allow our light, your light to shine through us in a powerful way. We can say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Lord, I thank you that it will be powerful, that people will see that there is hope, that there is a Savior, and his name is Christ. Jesus, thank you again for your sacrifice and all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
From a mighty, long way, Lord, I know you brought me from a mighty, long way. From a mighty, long way, oh, mighty, long way, Lord, I know you brought me from a mighty long way. One Sunday morning, I was sitting down the front, but the Lord stepped right in, turned my dark nights into day. It was way back when, last Sunday morning, the Lord stepped right in and turned my heart into joy. From a mighty long way,
mighty long way,
Lord, I know you brought me from a mighty long way. From a mighty long way,
oh, mighty long way,
Lord, I know
you brought me from a mighty long way.
I remember when I couldn't see my way, the Lord stepped right in, turned my dark nights into day. It was way back when, one Sunday morning, the Lord stepped right in, turned my dark nights into joy. From a mighty long way,
mighty long way,
Lord, I know
you brought me from a mighty long way.
From a mighty long way,
oh, mighty long way,
Lord, I know
you brought me from
one more verse,
mighty long way.
One Sunday morning, I was sitting down the front, preacher called my name, I began to jump. Took me by the hand, and I felt free. The Lord stepped right in, and he delivered me, yeah, from a mighty long way.
Oh, mighty long way,
Lord, I know
you brought me from a mighty long way.
From a mighty long way,
oh, mighty long way,
Lord, I know
you brought me from a mighty long way.
And I know
you brought me
from a mighty long way.
I know you brought me
from a mighty, Lord, I know
you brought me
from a mighty long way.
Lord, I know you brought me
from a mighty long way. He picked me up,
I know you brought me,
and he turned me around, placed my feet,
I know you brought
on solid ground. I could have been dead,
I know you brought
me, sleeping in my grave.
Mighty, mighty
Jesus saved me.
I know you brought me.
Sit back and behave.
Mighty,
oh,
way.
You brought me.
Brought me.
You brought me.
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 Yeah, I know you brought me.
You brought me from a mighty, and I know.
And I know
you brought me. God Almighty, from a mighty long way.
I know you brought me
from me
from a mighty
Lord, long way. Lord,
I know you brought me
from a mighty long way. He picked me up.
I know you brought
and turned me around.
From a mighty
place
way.
My feet.
I know you brought
on solid ground.
From a mighty
I could have been dead.
I know you brought
sleeping
me
in my grave.
From a
he told
way.
That devil, sit down and behave. I know
way.
You brought me.
I know you brought
from a mighty long way.
From
I know
way.
You brought me.
I know you
from
brought
a
me.
Long
from a mighty long way.
The blood of Jesus. We thank you so much for just taking this time to have communion with us. This has truly been a blessing as we have been continually being able to do First Sundays where we connect with you virtually. We know some of you may have compromised immune systems or other things that are going on, or maybe you're on vacation or some other place, but you still want to connect. This time of communion is a reverential time, a time that we think about the Lord. And it says, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of Him. So I encourage you right now, if you don't have the articles, maybe got the cups from the church, or you have some bread and a little grape juice, go ahead and get that. Prepare your heart. Also want you to make sure that there is no unforgiveness. I know Bianca and I always like, are we good? We're good. And she's like, yeah, we're good. Notice she gets to choose if we're good. But it is important, relationships connect as we think about what Christ has done for us. So before we get into the communion, get into the scriptures, I'm going to ask Bianca if she would pray. Also go ahead and pray over the bread and the juice.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for all the wonderful things you have done. We thank you most importantly for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and shed his blood so that we might have a true and real relationship with you. And Lord, now we come to you as you have said in your word, taking the bread and taking the juice in remembrance of that sacrifice, Lord. We ask that you would bless the bread and bless the juice, that it might help us to remember all the wonderful things you've done and the sacrifice that you have made for us. We praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 11:23 really kind of gives us a summary, a concise view of what happened in the upper room. He writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" And this is our whole connection with Christ, to remember him. It continues on, it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and some sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." So in this process, we want to make sure we're not holding anything. We want to make sure that we're really thinking about Christ and who he is, and thanking him, as we talked about in the message, for his grace and his mercy, his loving kindness that he has given to us. So I want you to go ahead and get those articles, and let's go to the upper room as Jesus is there, that final Passover before he becomes our sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. He picks up the bread, and it would generally be a loaf, and he breaks it, and he gets the disciples' attention, and he says, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me. Let us eat together." At that time, the disciples, I can see them focusing in. They have laser attentiveness at this point to our King, the Christ, the Messiah. He picks up the goblet that was generally shared around the table, and he said, "This represents my blood." Yes, his blood. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. As often as we drink it, let us do it in remembrance of him. Let us drink together. It is so good to know that we have a Savior that's more than enough. I want to continue with him, and I want you to continue with him. Remember, we're not like those who draw back, but we keep on pressing to the saving of souls, the saving of our soul. And in that same process, we really want to walk in this soul salvation which Christ has given us. Any good? God is so good. Well, until we meet again, you be blessed.